Now we're going to have all the parents come up and see if they can do it. Amen. I'm really proud of these children, and we appreciate Sister Rebecca and Sister Stephanie working with them. That takes a lot to be able to do that, so I don't know if I could get through it all myself, but we're proud of them, and they did a wonderful job. I think the church is going to have to dip into a little bit of money and give those children some prizes for being able to do that, so they can be looking forward to that. Let's sing this together. We want to say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. Well, I am so blessed, and my soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. We want to say thanks. Thank you.
I'd like to maybe just while you're standing, let's just turn and read a scripture really quickly here. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And let's read verse 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank You so much for an opportunity to be together. We want to thank You for Your presence with us. We want to thank You for the word that You've given us that shows us how we ought to live, that shows us how You love us, that shows us and reveals to us Your character and how wonderful that is, Lord. We're constantly in awe by Your goodness, Your righteousness, Lord. Lord, as we are here today, we ask that You would let Your word just sink down deep on the inside of our hearts, Lord. That it would take effect in our lives, Lord. And that there would be something that we would go home with this afternoon, Lord. That we would be farther up the road than we were when we came this morning, Lord. We're looking for Your soon coming, Lord. And we present ourselves, Lord, humble before You, telling You, Lord, we need You. Come and change our hearts, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So, always nice to be here at the Church of the Open Door. We always enjoy being with you, as you guys know. It's good to have good friends. And good to have good fellowship where we can be together and enjoy one another's company and know that we're all looking forward to the same great events and the great word that we have before us. This morning, I teach Sunday school with projector, but I usually have my laptop in front of me and I can control it from there. And so this is different for me, but I thought I'd try since y'all were used to it. I thought I'd try to follow what Nathan does. So this morning, we have a really, really hot topic that we wanted to talk about. And I know it just excites you when you see the word on the screen behind you, because it's just everybody in their life wants ordinary. Just everybody does. You get on Twitter these days, and this hashtag has got to be the number one thing that is trending on Twitter every day. Ordinary. Today I got up and ordinary stuff happened. And it was great. And nobody thinks like that, but we really ought to.
That's right.
We ought to think that, you know what, ordinary stuff happened to me today. And that's fine. Amen. Because sometimes ordinary stuff doesn't happen. And that might not be great. You know, car blew up. Hashtag not ordinary, you know, wishing for ordinary, you know. There are many things on either side of the spectrum that we maybe could be think are great or maybe could not be great, but we don't really ever look, and nobody ever looks at and wants ordinary in their lives. We always want something great, the next big thing, the next cool thing. And that's what our culture has gotten into today. We've gotten into that where, you know, it's got to be, you know, we've got to have it now. We've got to have that instant gratification. We've got to have some cause to champion, something. And this is what we see in our culture. But what happens so many times with us is our culture, as I preached, I don't know, 5 years ago, I preached the message, Culture Degrades Truth. A culture around us begins to degrade even the message that we hold dear. And it affects and impacts how the message is lived in our lives. And so that's what I want to talk about kind of this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. I think we could preach on that one for just a moment, but we're going to continue on. But I liked that one. Let the garments always be white, let thy head lack no ointment. Some sanctification, a little filling of the Spirit there. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So here is something. Now we know Ecclesiastes, as Solomon is writing, he's talking about life under the sun. And so many times when he's lamenting at how terrible things are, you need to understand as you read this that Solomon is only talking about life under the sun. He's not really talking about how life should be with God, but how just life is here on earth. How things are. Man lives, man dies. Man lives, man dies. Man lives, man dies. Smart man lives, smart man dies. Stupid man lives, stupid man dies. He's like, man, this is junk. But that's the way it is under the sun. And here we are, we find ourselves that we here live under the sun. And there's many times where we need to understand that our lives here are here for a specific time and for a specific purpose, but it's going to be a broad expanse of time, or perhaps it'd be a short amount of time, God forbid. But during those days, there's going to be times where it's ordinary. And how you react and how you live in the ordinary can really impact what happens when things aren't as ordinary, when the supernatural begins to happen, when it's time for God to move. How you live in your ordinary days is really going to have a strong impact. Why don't we have a rapture today? Why didn't the rapture happen between 6 and 9 this morning? Well, you say, well, we don't have rapturing faith. Well, I would ask you, can you have rapturing faith until it is time for God, that the ordained time that God has for the rapture? God knows when it is. Can you have rapturing faith prior to that point? Because if you do, why don't you rapture? But God has an ordained time for the rapture. It's going to happen between 6 and 9 some morning, somewhere. Right? But until that time, are you going to be living in that supernatural time of the rapture? No. But how you live your life in an ordinary way has a great impact on that day. Because if you're faithful in that ordinary, God, during that supernatural time, can really quicken that. And he'll see that faithfulness there. But if you're not living faithful in that ordinary, and you're saying, well, we don't know, we're just, you know, I mean, maybe when it gets closer, we see some more signs. Maybe we'll start to live a little bit better. You've missed something.
Think about it.
You've really missed something.
Right. Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So, live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. That is your portion in this life. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There's going to be ordinary things to do. Live here on earth. Trevor, what should we do? What should we do? Oh, you know, and people, and if we look at maybe the life of maybe a new convert to this message or just to Christ, and we say, oh, you know, they get into just kind of this mode where they're growing and they're building, right? It's like, man, I've been in denominations and now I see this message and it just wipes away everything I ever thought. And they just become such a student of the word and they get so excited about what they're hearing. And every time they go to church, their mind is blown because I've never heard stuff like this. This is amazing. And it goes and it continues and it seems like it builds and it builds and it builds. And maybe that happens for a while, but at some point in time, you start to kind of peak.
All right.
And you start to kind of understand the basics of this message. And I want to be really careful here because I don't want anybody to understand out of this sermon when I get done that Trevor thinks we shouldn't have zeal, that Trevor thinks we shouldn't try, or that we shouldn't be excited about the things of the Lord, or that we shouldn't just, you know, run around the church because we're so happy about praising God. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm talking about when that doesn't happen, because let's be honest with ourselves, there's going to be times that doesn't happen. We're going to have ordinary church services. Lots of times they're Wednesday nights because everybody's tired. And we're like, wow, we're going to go to church. And oh my goodness, I got yelled at by my boss and I yelled back. That was Friday. You know, and now we're going to go to church. You know, yay! I'm sure the Lord is going to... I mean, you come on, let's be real. These things happen. We'd love to have that expectation every time we enter the church doors, as Brother Branham says we ought to have, but we also understand that we're human.
That's right.
And that sometimes we're going to go in, we're going to sit down, we're going to hear the word of the Lord, we're going to get up and we're going to go. And what happens in that ordinary? And man, Brother Nathan just wasn't using my favorite quotes. And it wasn't just what, you know, the song service, you know, we sang kind of them older Pentecostal ones, you know, and those just aren't really my thing. And, you know, or maybe it's like, oh, we just sang all hymns. We didn't sing any of the newer worship songs, you know. So, my goodness, it was just, you know, if we could have sang some of those, it would have really, you know, the Spirit maybe would have come down more than it did, you know. We just had an ordinary. And there's all kinds of ways that we think and that we, you know, that we have in our minds and that just kind of we tend to go, yeah, that one. You know, I mean, last Wednesday night, whoo, boy, the Spirit was there. But, man, you know, tonight it's just like, yeah, it's like dead in here. So what? You just turn off and you just go, okay, yeah, it's dead. Nothing happening tonight. You know, forget it. We'll go home. You know, maybe next week we'll have a great service and something really can happen. And how many of us do this, you know, in our own relationships and in our own lives, you know? I mean, these are basic things, but, you know, my wife, she's become quite a good cook. But you know what? When we got married, there were a lot of ordinary meals. But you know what? There was probably many days where I was just an ordinary husband. I didn't come home from work every day and just, hello, I'm home. Let me get the door for you, sweetie. Here, can I help you with the dishes? I was just an ordinary husband. Probably more often than I ever was an extraordinary husband. But Wednesday was our 15th anniversary. 15 wonderful years that we've spent together. Amen. How many of them were just ordinary days? We kind of laugh about our, was it our 5th or 6th anniversary? One of those two, I have a blog post on it. I washed the truck. You know, what else? And we had leftover cupcakes from work. That was our celebration. You know, it was an ordinary anniversary. And anniversaries aren't supposed to be ordinary, but it was. But you know what? How did that matter? Really, when it comes to it, how to get to 15 years, and that was an ordinary one. Was that okay? Yeah, it was okay. Why? Because it's how we respond and how we act in the ordinary that can really show what's going on in our lives. I wrote on the little blog post, I was like, look, you know, washing your truck, it just speaks of commitment, right? Because you're committed to keeping the things that you have together nice. And yeah, I was stretching. Okay, you're right. But sometimes there's just ordinary going on. And it's that relationship that we have that matters. And it's the relationship we have with Christ that matters. Your relationship with Christ is not contingent or should not be contingent on having a wonderful worship fest every single service. Right. We wish that would happen. But I can tell you this, that if you have a better relationship and continue to work on your relationship in the ordinary, when those times happen, it's going to be so much better for you. Right. You're going to love it so much more. So, let's see here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So as we look at this new convert, you know, and he's coming to a point where he's, okay, now I'm starting to, I really understand the seals for the most part, and I get this, and I get that, and I understand the purpose Brother Branham came, and I understand Revelations 10:7 and what that means, and all these scriptures that we have, and we begin to understand them, you know, and so while, man, every service for a while there, our minds were just blown, and it was great, and wow, and you know, and just every time you went and you saw a brother, oh man, God was showing me this the other day, and oh, you know, have you seen that? You know, and just how great it is. But after a while, you begin to kind of peek off, and you begin to kind of understand things. And so now your mind's not being blown. It's because, okay, yeah, I know. Well, I know that, Pastor. Man, I've been doing this for 2-3 years now. I'm really starting to get the hang of it. Pastor, come on now. I'm farther along. I know I'm the straggler in this church, Pastor, but I'm farther along than this now. Come on. Wait. Pastor, you're going to do a series on justification and then sanctification? Pastor, we're farther along than that. Come on. What's new, Pastor? What's exciting? What's fresh, deep revelation that we ought to get to? And sometimes there isn't. And I say that, and be careful, because I know, look, I mean, we listen to tapes, and we can get more out of each, you know, every single time. I am not downplaying that. Everybody understand me today. But we're being real, and we're being honest, that sometimes, you know, I've listened to that tape the fifth time, and I didn't get an extra thing out of it. These times happen. If maybe it's just me, or somebody else is more spiritual than I am, but, you know, there's times you listen to it, and you go, I get that. I understand that. I know what he's saying there. I didn't really pull anything deeper. Was that a bad thing? Was it? No. Is it ordinary? Yes. Is it feeding my soul? Anytime you look at the Word of God, it's feeding your soul. And it wasn't maybe a, man, that was, you know, that was prime rib with the perfect spices and the potatoes were so creamy. And, you know, maybe it wasn't one of those meals to you. But yeah, we got a long way to go, don't we? Maybe it wasn't one of those to you, but at the same time, it fed you on that day. Yes. And that's a good thing. I don't have the slides, so you're going to actually have to use your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. I came up with this one late, so. And let's just kind of look at the progression of what Paul is telling us here. And I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights through here. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How exciting this is. Think new believer here. Hey, you're dead in Christ. Set your affections on things above. Christ is coming. Yes, this is awesome. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get rid of all of this stuff. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the time which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now you've put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You're not lying to one another. Verse 10, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So, okay, we get it. We've gotten rid of all of the stuff. Now we've put on a new man. This is wonderful. This is great. We're still climbing. This is awesome. There's we don't have any walls around us. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Start getting the fruits of Christ in your life. Start forbearing with one another, living with one another. Verse 14, after all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. You see how it's just building. It's just building. It's just building. We've built it, and we all know that that capstone is love. Right? So now here we are at the capstone. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here you are. Now we've put on the capstone. And he's still saying, hey, go to church. Yeah, you've got all these things. Put on the capstone. You've got love. Great. Go to church. Feed each other. Sing songs. All right. Sing hymns. Get together. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And we stop climbing now. Go to church. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Servants, obey your masters. Whatsoever you do. Look, whatever you're going to do, because you're going to live your life now. Look, you're not going to keep climbing once you get the capstone on your life. There's times when you stop climbing, and so what are you going to do? Whatever, well, you know what? Whatever you're going to do, you've put off all of these things. You've put on a new man. You've got love in your heart. Go to church, sing psalms, and whatever you do, because there's going to be stuff that you do that isn't necessarily church stuff. Do it with all your heart. Amen. Do it with all your might, as unto the Lord. Your ordinary stuff. Live differently now. Doesn't say that you have to now, man, you have to have this campaign, this cause, this thing that you're championing. Yes, we are going to try to get Christ out there. But how we do that is to not take our Bibles and message books and start beating people on the heads with them. It doesn't work that way. But when you put that new man on and your life begins, and as you do everything you do as unto the Lord, people take notice because it's different. To us, it's ordinary. Well, I mean, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, so when I, you know, as Brother Luke said one time, I always thought it was funny. Sisters, you know, you're dusting the house. He said, do it with deity expressed. Get the dust on top of the door frames. You know, you know, whatever you do, do the best because it's to God that you're doing it.
Amen.
Even it's, I'm just dusting, Brother Trevor. But you're dusting with the Holy Spirit inside you.
Amen.
That's different.
Yes. That's right.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit is just woven into our lives, into the ordinary things that we do. God should still be expressed in our hearts and our lives. It should look different than it does on anybody else. Amen?
Amen?
Or either that or the Holy Ghost just has nothing. There's just no power that the Holy Ghost really has. If the Holy Ghost only empowers us in church, only empowers us during maybe an encounter we have where we're witnessing with someone, but it doesn't empower us when we're just sitting there and I woke up this morning and I had pancakes. The Holy Spirit wasn't there. I mean, he didn't empower. What? Yes, he did. He doesn't just leave you and then come to you when you need him to do supernatural stuff.
Right.
He's always there. He'd never leave you, never forsake
yeah.
you. He is there in the ordinary. And your life should be praising him even in the ordinary.
Amen.
Every day you should be praising God. In the little things that you do. Yes, get the dust on top of the door frames. Praise God because you're giving him the best.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know how long it's been since we've dusted the top of the door frames, but you understand what I'm saying. So we understand that at some point in time, we can begin to reach a place where things are just, we're just living message lives. And they're ordinary. And that's okay. As long as we're doing it with God on the inside of our hearts. So, what do we have? Well, today, as we look at our culture... Hope that worked. Yeah. We have zealots today. Save the whales. Justice for somebody or another. Kill the lion shooting dentists. I like that one in you know, save the whales, but kill the lion shooting dentists. I think that's outraged at this. Outraged at that. This matters. That matters. Of course, nobody's actually doing anything but spending 30 seconds posting it on some website
right.
on the internet. But man, these things matter, and I'm outraged. And these, this is, you know, this is zealots today, though. And like, look, the course of countries can be changed because of people not actually doing anything but sitting on their couch.
All right.
Because of their opinions. You see, this is our culture today. But is it that different than it used to be? In the zealots of the New Testament time period, death to the Romans, make Jesus king now. Seriously, why are the Romans still in Judea? Free Barabbas, justice for John the Baptist. I tried to make them somewhatly, you know, I could have had a lot more fun with this sermon, but I thought things would get out of hand. But this is what we would see. These were New Testament zealots. These were the zealots in the time of Christ. These zealots, they modeled themselves. They were very Pharisees. They were just like Pharisees. They lived just like the Pharisees. They thought the Pharisees were right. But they this is coming from Josephus. But they thought liberty above everything. They wouldn't submit to taxes by the Romans. And they thought if you paid taxes to the Romans, you were a coward. And they didn't think twice about just killing someone they thought, without trial, without a jury, that they thought had offended God. And why? Because they go back to Phinehas. And Phinehas, when during the time of Balaam, and the guy comes in, and he's got a Midianite woman on his arm, and he takes her into the tent, Phinehas grabs a spear and kills both of them.
Right.
No jury. And so these zealots thought, well, hey, this is us. We're still doing that holy, righteous work. Zealots. Didn't think twice about killing a Roman. Wouldn't. Hey, why? Because they couldn't wait for the coming of the Lord. They couldn't wait for the kingdom of the Lord to happen. No, they had to do things like this. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, you're not going to make God do anything. But there's so many people who get so zealous for something. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have zeal, but we should have zeal for the right things. And understand sometimes that there's a time and a place that God has something ordained for. You could be zealous to make the rapture happen. But it's not going to happen. I mean, people could get so crazy as to think, like, this person's hindering the rapture, like, until he gets... The last one has to come in before the rapture, and I think you're the last one, and come on, I am so tired of waiting for you, I'm just going to kill you, and then you won't be the last one anymore. I mean, that's zealot mentality.
That's right.
Full disclosure, I don't think like that. But this is zealot mentality, is people that are not willing to wait for the coming of the Lord. Not willing to wait and have an ordinary day.
Think about it.
Living their life for Christ, doing whatever they're doing for Him. And instead they decide, I've got to make something happen. And we see that in our day as well. Study the thunders, Perugia in 63. One word off is Satan's kingdom. Anybody have somebody ever tell you that? I mean, Brother Branham does kind of say that, but he doesn't usually say it, Brother, one word off is Satan's kingdom. And usually when somebody tells you that, what they mean is that if you don't understand it like I understand it, then you're going to hell. And what is this? What is this but zealots? It's zealots taking a cause because they're not content to just sit and live by their conscience and how the Holy Spirit impacts their life and how the Word of God is supposed to just come into their life and not make them weird idiots, but just make them normal people who love God.
Amen?
Amen? So people, but you know what? It's easier, isn't it? It's easier to get into a group of people that have a cause, that have a campaign. Why? Because it makes you feel like you're doing something.
Right.
And ordinary days don't make you feel like you're doing anything for God. And we think, well, but we're supposed to do things for God. Yes. Yes, you should live your life doing things for God. Get the dust on the top of the doorframe. Do whatever it is you're doing. Do it for Him. And He will lead you and He will guide you in His time, in His place. What He has ordained to happen will happen. And if you're faithful in the ordinary, how much better can God use you when it's time for the supernatural to occur?
Right.
Now, if we've built a decent foundation, and what I hope has a foundation here, I want to look now at a couple of biblical characters. Now, we can look at Abraham. And what I like, I kind of liked how this kind of connects with the series that Brother Nathan's been on flawed characters. Now, I'm not taking that track of looking at their flaws or anything. But as I've been going through the Bible and reading this year, one of the things that I've been trying to, and I don't know that I'm consciously trying to do it, although I am now that I've been thinking about it, but one of the things is that to understand what's not in the Scripture. And when we read the stories of Abraham, and we read what's in the Scripture of Abraham, we understand intellectually that Abraham had a promise, and 25 years later, that promise came to fruition. And we don't read the Scripture that Abraham got up and had pancakes. We don't read the Scripture that Abraham didn't sleep well because on the trail, and there was a rock in his back, but he didn't want to roll over because he didn't want to wake Sarah up. So he was sleeping there with a rock in his back all night, and he just didn't sleep well. All
right.
We don't read that Abraham had ordinary days. Seriously, we look at 20, we can read 25 years of Abraham's life in about 30 minutes. Something like that. We go through it so quickly. You look in the New Testament and you look at the time of Christ, and there's 3 days. You know, we have him going to Gethsemane, and we have the trial, and Jesus is being beaten, and you know, and finally and now he's being crucified, and he was dead for an entire day before really there was anything else said in Scripture about him rising on Sunday. There's little said in Scripture about Saturday. And you think, oh, if you really started looking at it, what was that day like for the disciples? What was that day like for the disciples? The disciples got up and their king, their cause, their champion was dead. Everything they had been working for the last 3.5 years is gone. And they don't know what to do, what to think, where to be. But not a thing is written in the Scriptures. But if you stop and for a moment put yourself in their shoes and go, oh, my goodness, it's easy for us to see. Oh, well, I mean, Sunday was coming. You know, they were all right. They didn't know that. They couldn't read the next chapter because it hadn't been written yet. They're living in a time that wasn't ordinary, but in a sense it was, because nothing supernatural was happening on that day in their lives. Amen? So we got to understand that when we read the Scriptures, there's a lot of ordinary happening to great men of faith like Abraham. So if we look at Abraham, you know, and if we just dramatized it out for a moment, and we looked and said, you know, Abraham and Sarah there before they left their parents, and here they were, you know, and maybe there was a preacher that had come to town. Like I said, we're just going to dramatize this and kind of make it sound more like something that would happen to us. And maybe they, you know, begin to have a service, you know, and there Abraham and Sarah are sitting, and the preacher is preaching the word of God and how God is, you know, great, the great Jehovah. He's always with us. And you know, he begins to speak, and everybody begins to hear the word of God, and their hearts are just soaring because everything they've ever known has just been idolatry. And then maybe the preacher gets so inspired and the Holy Spirit comes down so in the meeting that maybe the preacher there begins to discern what's in Abraham and Sarah's hearts, and he begins by God to come, and he tells them there's a couple in here that's been wanting a child, and they've been unable to have a child, but I want to tell you tonight that God is so real that couple is going to have a child.
Right.
And no doubt, but you know, everybody knew that this preacher had no idea that Abraham and Sarah were in this situation. And everybody understands that God has really moved in their midst, and they understand what this means for Abraham and Sarah, and my, the church just goes crazy. Everybody's praising. Everybody's worshiping God. Everybody's having a wonderful time because they know what this means. They know that it means God's alive in their midst. They know what this means for their friends Abraham and Sarah, who've been wanting a child so badly for so long and been unable to have it. So what a time this is. What a service has begun to take place. And it goes long into the night because, man, I mean, they just tore the church apart praising God. And then the next day comes and everybody wakes up and it's, Brother Branham tells us, Abraham looks up, Sarah, how you feeling? No different, honey. Well, praise God, we're going to have it anyway. And then the next day happens. Sarah, how you feeling? No different, Abraham. Well, okay, praise God, we're going to have it anyway. And then the next day happens. How you feeling? no different. Praise God. We're going to have a... The next day happens. And that service was 4 or 5 days ago. The excitement, the emotion of that service is all but forgotten, but yet what remains? The Word of God does. In the ordinary times, it's the Word of God that you're going to have that's going to keep you. Amen. Because there's going to be ordinary days.
Amen.
Amen? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word. Don't build yourself upon emotions, upon excitement, upon big churches. Build upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and his word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He came to redeem. Brother Branham says, down in the South, you can go to preaching, and the people are shouting and crying. You know what the South is. But the Northern people, the Canadian people, are conservative. Exactly right. They get the message just the same. It doesn't go how much we act. It's how much takes a hold inside is what counts. So when you have a service, there's sometimes they're great. There's sometimes they're emotional. But what comes down on the inside? Man, we had such a great service. It was so awesome. Oh, how'd the Lord speak to you? Well, I mean, it was such a great service. We had a time. Praise God, that's nice. What? Tell me more. What did the Lord do for you? How did the Lord speak to you? I don't know. That's kind of a tough question. Well, then I can tell you that church, that service, it didn't do a whole lot for you. It got you excited. It's like that service, instead of it being a nice, good, hearty meal, was just like a can of Mountain Dew. Got you all excited, got you all jittery. I don't know if there was any nutrients, really, but it got you enthused. Took you through to the next day. That's wonderful. But you're going to have a good meal at some point in time.
Amen.
In order to be healthy. Mountain Dew every day doesn't cut it. Amen? Everybody's going to be really hungry by the time we're done with the service. Let's see here. Where are we? So what did Abraham have then? Throughout his 25 years, where there's many supernatural things happening in Abraham's life. But let's not forget, this is 25 years we're talking about. Sure wasn't every day. Whole bunch of ordinary famines are going on. He's getting into trouble. He's having problems. He's trying to figure out how to do this. In what we would say, in the real world, on the ground. There's no food. I'm going to Egypt. No, God wants you here. That's nice, but food's in Egypt. You know, and look, these kinds of trials are what happen in the ordinary. And it's how the word is taking root in our lives that matters to us. Because those decisions that God makes has us make so many times are not in the height of emotion in the great service. And if they are, they need to stick through the ordinary times.
Right.
Amen? Here's what Abraham had. You know, there's something about it. You can pass right by God's blessing and not know it if you're not prayed up. I think about that. Prayed up. You see, it was the relationship that Abraham had with God. And what, in context of what Brother Branham is saying in this quote, as he was talking about when the three came to him, and Abraham recognized and said, "My Lord." And Brother Branham says, he could have missed that blessing, but he was prayed up, so he knew what was going on. Now, was Abraham prayed up through all the many wonderful services that he had? No, he was prayed up through the ordinary days. It was probably an ordinary day Abraham had that he thought, man, okay, this is great. And just living my life here. Sarah's in the tent, making the food. And here three guys show up. But he was prayed up, and he knew who they were.
That's right.
And that matters. That matters a lot. Your relationship matters a lot. In your marriages, your relationship in the ordinary days matters a lot. If you only talk to one another on days when you felt like, woo,
I love you. I love you. It's like, let's talk. Let's have relationship. Yeah, this is great. And then, like, you know, for weeks and weeks, you went with no relationship at all. How good of a relationship would you have? How good of a marriage is that?
Right.
But those ordinary days, hey, good morning, how are you? Hey, let me help you with the dishes. We'll do this, we'll do that. Let's, you know, dust the top of the door frame. Yeah, I'll help you do that too, because I love you. And you have a relationship. You have, you know, there's dialogue going on. You know one another. You know how each other thinks and how each other's feeling. And it's the same way with God. Amen. Brother Branham says, if he would appear tonight on the platform and would say to me, go to the presidential graveyard tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, call George Washington from the dead, I'd invite the whole world to come and watch it be done. Yes, sir, for I have faith in what has been told me, because never has he failed to confirm whatever he said to me. So I have faith in it, believing it, that it's the truth, because it's a built-up affair. Now, this isn't a built-up emotion that Brother Branham's talking about, where they had music, where they had, you know, and just built up, and, oh, okay, now I'm inspired, and now I believe. No, it was a structural building. It was a building up of his faith on the inside, because he'd seen the consistency of God. He'd seen the consistency of the Word. And so there was a faith that was built up in his heart, where he just believed because he knew God was faithful. But that took time. That took him praying on ordinary, going out and just, oh, your baby's sick, I'm going to go pray. Not always just the great healing lines, but every time he would pray, he built up that faith because he saw God in action.
Amen.
It was an everyday thing woven into the fabric of his life. Because Brother Branham, as we know, had to go and mow the lawn and then come back and pray, and then go and mow the lawn and come back and pray and mow the lawn. And he did real normal stuff too, just like us. So let's look at another character here. And I want to turn, if you maybe turn to 1 Kings, I'll roll through that one as terribly as I butchered through Colossians chapter 3 there. But 1 Kings chapter 17. Very familiar scripture. Very familiar story. Not Elijah, right. Elijah. Ordinary guy, just like Abraham, right? And we think, what, are you kidding me? Wasn't anything ordinary about Elijah? I mean, prophesies and it's not going to rain. There's famine. He's down there and he's at the creek and he's getting flesh and bread from birds. And then he goes and he's staying with a widow woman. And, you know, he commands that the oil and the flour wouldn't go, and it doesn't. And then her son dies, and then, you know, he raises him back to life. I mean, this is 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Let's look at this. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. And let's just skip now to him, to verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose, and he came to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which spake by Elijah. And let's just skip now. After this, we understand that he stayed there, and then her son passes away. And she says, oh, you're bringing my sin to remembrance against me. You know, now things aren't really good. And then Elijah goes and he prays and the little boy comes back to life. And this is the woman's reaction. Verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Because she didn't get that from the not dying when she made him a cake, because that was all the bread and oil she had left. No, I'm sure she understood that back then. But let's not forget, they were living in a time of famine. And here Elijah comes, and now he's staying there. And every day that oil and that meal is not going anywhere. And every day here it is. All these things are happening. And I don't know if this was weeks, if this was months. Maybe this was 2 of the 3.5 years. But it was certainly some time. And now the woman's son dies. And Elijah brings him back to life by the power of God. And here she says, now I know you're a man of God. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. What does that tell us? That told us that that meal and that oil became kind of ordinary to her. Even though it was a supernatural thing that God had put in her house, in her life, she's sitting there living in the ordinary, forgetting that God is manifesting himself to her daily. And we understand that we live in a time of great famine. A famine in the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And we understand that we live in a great famine. And there's many times that we're looking for something supernatural to happen. And we think, oh, if God, if you could just come and show us what you can do in our lives, how we would believe you. And we forget that with this message in our hearts, with this message in our life, the supernatural is among us every single day of our lives. Amen. And it gets dry, though. We get thirsty. We're looking. Yeah, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have zeal, that you shouldn't go and say, God, I want to have such a good service. Lord, I want you to just lift me up. We feel so dry. I'm not saying that you shouldn't feel that. I'd think there's something wrong with you if you didn't. But if you fail to remember that the supernatural is among you, even in the ordinary days of your life, then you've missed something in your life. You don't have to be discouraged every day. You need to look to the oil and the meal and know, you know what, God? There's a famine everywhere. People are dying everywhere, but I'm not. Amen. Because of what you're doing for me. Amen. And the ordinary becomes supernatural. And every day of our lives, we ought to understand that there's supernatural in our own lives. Because we have the oil. Because we have the meal in our lives. Amen. So as we continue the story, we look at chapter 18, and there's much there with Obadiah, who had hidden some Christians in a cave, and he didn't want to die, but he was picked to go tell Ahab that Elijah wanted to meet with him, and he meets with him, and there, if you looked at verse 17, Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed Balaam. Now for sin, gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. And so we understand the story now of Mount Carmel. Keep in mind, there's been 3.5 years now. There's been days of ordinary going on. Been days of ordinary. And here Elijah comes, and now we come to a Mount Carmel experience. And let's look at the reactions and how the prophets of Baal lived now. 1 Kings 18, 26 through 29. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to... Does anybody think that's a bad idea? I am asking for this God to come and answer by consuming this altar with fire, and they're leaping on top of it. People get crazy sometimes. People get crazy sometimes. I don't have an analogy to our lives, but I am sure there has to be one. It came to pass at noon, did I switch? It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, he's on a journey. Peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after the manner of after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Now, let's just see here. So here's all the things that they're doing. They called, they leaped onto the altar. They cried aloud, they cut themselves, they prophesied. They were doing all kinds of things. They were working themselves into a frenzy. They were trying to get the buildup. They're trying to get the buildup that Abraham already had, that Brother Branham already had. Why? Because they had relationship. Now, why didn't they have relationship? It's pretty hard to have relationship when the thing you're trying to have a relationship with doesn't actually exist. That's number one. And, you know, I caught this the other, while we were actually on our Florida trip, and as I was preaching, this came to me, and I thought it was so beautiful, I wanted to share, that one of the things that, if we look at, why do we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And why is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so important in our baptism? And why is it that we don't use Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I mean, we understand that Brother Branham told us that this is the way it is, and so we all believe that. And that's great, and I hope everybody's just there. But, you know, I sometimes want a little bit more. I want to understand why. Why, you know, why isn't that, why? You know, because you try to tell this to not a Baptist, they'll probably be like, no, it has to be Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But you try telling this to someone who's just kind of a, you know, ho-hum Christian. They're going, yeah, you know, it's semantics. You're just, it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen the other. It doesn't really matter. You're doing it for the right reason. It's to God. You know which God you're talking about. It's really not a big deal. That's what they'll say. And then what do you say back? Well, it is. It's a big deal. And they say, why? And you say, because a prophet said so. And that's all you got. And I hope you have more. And if you do, please tell me, because I like these things. But one of the things that I thought was so, that really struck me, is that, let's say, I pick someone. Yes. Perfect. Let's say our brother here, Andrew. Let's say that he has a girlfriend now. I don't know if he does or not. And let's say he had a girlfriend 6 weeks ago. And so the girlfriend that he has now is a new girlfriend. And so he calls up his girlfriend. He's like, hey. And let's say he uses the name of the ex. We'll call her Rachel. And the new one is Sarah. I don't know. Just names at random completely. And he calls up Sarah and he's like, hey, Rachel, how you doing? He's in the doghouse. Or what if he calls her up and says, hey, sweetie, how are you? And she goes, you don't remember my name? He's like, how great of a relationship is this?
All right.
Husbands, forget your wife's name. Come in. Hey there. What does that say about your relationship?
All right.
Our names are part of who we are.
Yes.
I mean, it's offensive to us if you know, and we forget one another's names. And it's just like, yeah, you like me a lot. I can tell. I rate real high on your list. Because you don't even know my name. Why? It's offensive. Because our name is part of who we are. Our name tells you something about us. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us who our God is. And we go around, oh, great one, we praise you. And he's like, I have a name. You understand? So they have no name attached. They all this Baal, this God, and these things meant things, but they were not names. They were not personal identifications of someone that you could have a relationship with. And that's one of the reasons that the name of Jesus is so important.
Amen.
To the Christian. When we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're identifying with a person.
Amen.
With someone who means something to us that we have a relationship with. Amen. So here are these guys, they call, they leap, they cry aloud, they cut themselves, they prophesy, they work themselves up into a frenzy, but they have no idea, and there's no one there to answer. And here we are. Here's Elijah. Oh, sorry. Let's read this quote. The Pentecostal church is in the Laodicean condition. Oh, they jump and holler, carry on when the music is beating. When the music stops beating, or beatnik music, some of them play, calling it Christianity. Whenever that stops, all the glory is gone. If it's real praise of God, there isn't enough whistles and enough power in the world to stop it. When it really comes from God, it don't take music to be beat up. It takes the Spirit of God to come down on it. That's what does it. The power of God has nothing to do with the worship service in this building. It just doesn't. Now, the worship service in this building is great and wonderful, and I'm not saying anything against it. But if you're coming and expecting to have the song leader do something for you, to have the musicians do something for you, to bring you up. Yes, we're trying to create an atmosphere. We're trying to change our minds and put our minds on the Spirit of Christ. But if you're expecting that this has to be done for you every single time, beat something up, get something built up into you, you've missed praising God in the ordinary. You've missed praising God in the ordinary that you should be doing in your daily walk. It shouldn't take the music to get you built up into Christ. It should take your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Still on there. And it came to pass. Here's Elijah. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. What do you see in Elijah? Work up, calling, leaping, prophesying, cutting himself, doing any of these things? No. Simple prayer to God. And God answers by fire. Why? Because for 3.5 years, he lived his life faithful in the ordinary. He had a relationship with God, something that was built up already, that when it came to the fruition of time that God had ordained, he was so easily ready to just be where God wanted him to be and be able to be used by God in the way that God, and it didn't require him to go, oh yeah, I got to be ready tomorrow for this big, huge showdown. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to read the entire book of Psalms to get ready. He didn't have to do that. He just lived his life normally, in an ordinary way. And it came time and he just said, God, this is what you've ordained. This is why you've called me here. God answer with fire, and it happens. Brother Branham says, oh, what a blessed assurance is, just like a baby, to lay your trust on him. To let him take all your cares, for he cares for you. Don't try to do anything about it. He will do it already. He's promised he would do it. It's his business. As long as you're fooling with it, well, then he can't have it. But when you turn it loose and let him have it, he will take care of it for you. Yes, sir. Oh, I like that. What a perfect calmness the Christian ought to have. So where are you in your life? Do you have a perfect calmness in your life because of a built-up relationship with Christ? That happens in the ordinary. I want to try to bring things together here. Find out where I'm at in my notes. Here we are. Now, just bringing it down home and we'll try to close this up. The preaching of the word, we enjoy it. But that's not the main thing. Is that news to anyone? I thought that was the main thing. No. That's the means that God has given us to the end result that he wants. It is very main in the fact that we cannot produce what God wants in our lives unless we have the Word of God. But that's not the it wasn't the purpose in and of itself. God wanted to produce something. The Word is a seed. And you don't grab a seed and go, I got it. I got the main thing. No. You take that and you plant it in the ground. And then you got, I have 100 of the same thing. Because it's something that is intended to produce itself.
Right.
Amen? We should not worship the Lord just after we get through preaching the word, as we usually do, just worship him. That's wonderful. But we should worship him every hour of our life. When we're at work, we should worship him. Why? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him. If you see, some of you ladies, see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her and saying, "Sister, there's a better life than this." Amen. You men at your work, when you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance to one side and slip over and take him by the hand and say, "There's a better life than this." You shouldn't use those words. And tell him in a meek, gentle way, all those things is worship. And when we see someone sick and the doctor says there's no more can be done, we ought to worship the Lord by telling them there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. Why? See, the word of God produces something in your ordinary life. You go to work, and maybe God has ordained that day to be a day where someone comes and says, "Why are you different?" And you're able to do something. Why? Because you've been faithful. Because you've planted the word. Every day of your life, you've watered that word. You've nurtured that word. You've worked on your relationship with Christ, and you know all about it. Because you've been faithful in praising God in the ordinary. Amen. I thought this was kind of neat. I use this one often enough, but I know that you guys are in your men's meeting tonight going to be covering the resume of the ages, correct? And this is how Brother Branham ends the church age book. "Not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me, join my church, or start some fellowship and organization. I've never done that, and I will not do that now. I have no interest in those things. But I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I'll be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and men, wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with his spirit, and live according to his word. I would invite, plead, and warn you all to hear his voice at this time. Yield your lives completely to him, even as I trust in my heart that I've given my all to him. God bless you, and may his coming rejoice your heart." He wants to see a true spiritual relationship where people live according to the word. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Trevor? I mean just live under the sun. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You are going to live your life in an ordinary way. You're going to do the things that you do, have the job that you have, live the life that you live. But you're going to do it with the word of God woven into the fabric of your being. Because it's every part of you is just part of him. There can be no separation. You know, so what is Brother Branham saying in that quote? He's telling us, "I didn't come to start some super denomination. I didn't come to start some new campaign, some new hashtag, some new, you know, hashtag follow Brother Branham." He didn't come for that, to get a whole bunch of people, you know, excited about this hashtag and woo, praise God, we're all following Brother Branham. That's great. But that wasn't the point. The point was that the word of God could come into your life and that you could live your life as the way God would want you to. As the way if Jesus himself were in your shoes, this is how he would live his life. Because make no mistake, if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's living his life through your shoes. Amen? Not through your shoes, but you understand what I mean. Through the person in your shoes right now. "Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You think, Brother Trevor, am I not doing enough for God? Live your life. Live your life. Be faithful in the ordinary times. Am I saying, just go ahead, hey, go ride roller coasters, everybody. Well, hey, man, go ride the most intense ones that you can. You know, do it with all your might. I'm saying that you're going to do ordinary things, and that's fine. Just do it with God on the inside, and that's okay. And then those times where you feel like you're in a famine or you're in a drought, don't forget that the supernatural is happening around you all the time. That your ordinary is supernatural. Yes, that's right. If you compare it with the world. That's right. Because God is here with you. God has given you his word. God is still alive. He's Hebrews 13:8, and he's still impacting your life where you are and he's faithful. So have that relationship with him. Amen. Let's just stand. Just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And Lord, I don't know if people would consider this just ordinary preaching, or maybe they'd think it was very inspired preaching. But Lord, we've read your scripture. We've read quotes of your prophet, Lord. And these things are feeding our souls. Whether we would understand it or not, Lord, we know that the Word of God accomplishes the thing that it's sent to do. And so we thank you, Lord. We know that you're ever faithful. Lord, we ask for more grace in our own lives to see, Lord, that we don't have to build things up. We don't have to work things up. But Lord, that just like any relationship, we just should be so in love with you that every day we would have communion with you. Every day we would be in your Word. Every day we would just continually be building up that part of your Spirit that you put inside us. That, Lord, when the time comes for the rapture, we just step over. When the time comes for us to do something incredible for you, we just step into it. And we just say a simple prayer and allow you to do your work through our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen us, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. You know, I forgot to add this quote, but into my slides, but it was part of the original. I just reference it to you. Brother Branham's talking about Brother and Sister Shantz's trailer, and he's saying how they had in 65 they had a meeting there in their trailer, and he was talking about them in the next service and said how, you know, they thought, oh, you know, it's just a, you know, just having Brother Branham, you know, how maybe they would have thought it was not that big of a deal, but how maybe we would have all wanted to live in the book of Acts or whatever. And Brother Branham says, yeah, no, someday they'll probably be thinking, boy, if I could have been there in that trailer and heard Brother Branham, I thought, yeah, here they were just, hey, ordinary, we want to get this preacher to come and preach to our children, to the people here, and not think it's that big of a deal, but any one of us could go back and say, hey, I would have liked to have been part of that ordinary service that they thought they were having and heard Brother Branham preach Power of Transformation. Yeah. I'll take that ordinary day.
Amen.
But how about today? How about today? How about maybe Brother and Sister Shantz looking now through going, boy, those people, they're living right at the precipice, right at the time when God's going to come, right at the culmination of all things. Your ordinary day, it's anything but ordinary. Living in this age, with the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we have. Anyway, Brother Nathan, God bless you.
Amen. Lord bless you this morning. Brother Trevor was reading there some things about ordinary. I like that. And I was thinking of this quote from the church order in 1963. And for some of us, this may not be ordinary, but it's something I think that we can all... You say, oh, it's not some big supernatural thing, Brother Nathan. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It may not be some big supernatural thing is what we would think. But Brother Trevor was talking about how the song service and the things in the church, not just dependent on the musicians, not just dependent on the pastor, the song leader, whoever, but that we should all be coming in a spirit that we can receive. We should bring that to church with us. Brother Graham said in church order in 1963, he's talking about Norman Vincent Peale's church. He said, when I went into the marble church up there at the Norman Vincent Peale, you've heard of him, you see, and I went into a great psychologist teacher, you know, and I went into his church. I just thought there, I wish my tabernacle would do that again. Them deacons standing right there at the door just as soon as you come in, they hand you a Sunday school slip, taking you right down. He had to empty it 2 or 3 times, you know. And just scroll down here a little bit. He's talking about their service, how many people they had and everything. He said, and you could have heard a pin drop anywhere in that church and everybody in prayer for at least 30 minutes before. Everybody in prayer for at least 30 minutes before the first note was ever hit on the organ, the prelude, see. Just everybody in prayer, I thought, how wonderful it is. Then when that minister, that prelude, about, I think they played a prelude for about 3 to 5 minutes, how great their heart or something like that on like that. And then when they did, everybody stopped praying, was listening to the prelude. See, it give a change from prayer to prelude. And when they played that, then the choir leader directed the choir. Then they had a congregational song in the choir, and they were ready for their Sunday school class, see? And then when it was over, there was nothing went on except divine worship all the time. And that's what we come there for. And I think it'd be a good thing if our church, he said, I'm just saying this, we already will do it, see, let's do it. If somebody anything, say anything, I think it'd be a good thing. If it's a good thing, then let's do it. He said, if it's a good thing, then let's do it, see. We don't want to put off any good thing. We'll do it anyhow, see. And just go ahead and stand up there, and if they start on the morning or something like that, people visiting, just let someone or one of the deacons, somebody walk up there and say, it's been made a rule in the tabernacle. I don't know if they do. They may. I'm never here, see. I don't know. I'm never here before the services. He's talking about the order of the church. So Sundays, we have Sunday school for the children at 10:30. And we don't have an adult class, and one of the reasons I did that is just an incentive to get some of the parents here 30 minutes early so they can be praying and reading their Bible and getting in an atmosphere. Most of us, you know, if, I don't know if any, how many sports fans are here or whatever, but if you're really a sports fan, you know, and you're going to watch your favorite team play, you don't usually drag in about halfway through the game, and you're just in your slouchy clothes, and you didn't make any preparations. No, you've got on your jersey, and you got flags, and you're excited to be there, and you've made preparations. You asked off for work, and you saved up the money to buy the tickets, and you get there and get your seat before the game starts, and you're ready, and you're excited about it. But we come to church, and we drag in, and it takes the musicians and the song leader and everything to get us interested in the service, and then we drag on and different things and back and forth. But we should come in an atmosphere of worship to receive. Now, I believe that Brother Bram talked about the music, and he said if it would bring the Spirit of the Lord in Elijah's day, it'll do it in our day. I know all that, but we shouldn't depend on that. It shouldn't take us to get you in the spirit of worship. You should come in the spirit of worship. Amen. We should be happy to come and spend some time with the Lord before service. And so I think we can all do better on that. But you say, well, Brother Nathan, it's just so hard. You know, I got jobs and kids to get ready and things like that. So do me and the deacon brothers. But if we showed up about 15 minutes after church was supposed to start, everybody would be a little disappointed, pulling on the door handle. Why is it still locked? Why aren't the lights on? So, amen. I think we can all work on it. But you love the Lord? Amen. It's the word. We believe the word. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together this morning. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on, help me stand. Lord, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Storms through the night, oh, lead me on through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Oh, precious Lord, just take my hand and lead me on. Oh, let me stand. Lord, I'm so tired, I'm weak, Lord, I'm worn. Oh, through the storms, through the night, lead me on, you're my light. Oh, take my hand, precious Lord. Shadows appear and the night groweth drear and the day is past and gone. Oh, at that river, Lord, I stand. Won't you guide my feet? Lord, guide my hand. Oh, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, just take my hand. take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on. Yeah, they just play that softly. The man that wrote that song was a colored man and African American, as we would say today. And he had been an evangelist, and he had went on a train to evangelize in a certain area. And when he was out there evangelizing, he got word by telegram, said, your wife is dying. Not only that, your child's dying as well. He rushed and got a train ticket back home. When he got home, his sister was sitting on the steps crying. She said, not only is your wife gone, she said the little baby died too. And he was sitting there the next day, family around him and everything. They were trying to comfort him and couldn't say any words that would comfort him. He began to say something about the Lord, or somebody I think in the room there said something about the Lord. He said, that's precious, Lord. He said, that's precious, Lord. He sat down, he began to write. Sometimes some of the greatest inspiration comes through the darkest trials. And he sat down, he began to pen, oh, precious Lord, just take my hand. Lord, lead me on. Won't you let me stand? Lord, I'm so tired. I'm weak. Lord, I'm worn. Through all the storms, through all the nights, Lord, lead me on to that light. Oh, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on, and make me more like Thee, oh Jesus, make me. Desire tonight, or this morning rather, oh, just make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee, Lord, just give me a heart that's filled. Touch the Lord as He goes by. Friend, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out. Touch the Lord as He goes. If you need a touch from Him, just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes. My friend, you will find He's not too busy. He'll hear your heart's cry. Oh, He is passing by this supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there's many this morning that need a touch from You. Lord, some have spiritual needs, some financial, some marital, Lord, some, oh, maybe, Father, just financial situations or troubles in their home, or troubles on their job, troubles at school. Maybe they've been fighting a temptation, or maybe they've been fighting something, Lord, a physical need or something in their body, Father. But Lord, may You just go by and just touch each one this morning. May you just give each one a special touch from you, Lord, just to give them encouragement, to give them strength for the journey. Lord, we just ask that you just pass by this morning, Father. Don't pass us by, Father. Lord, each one needs a touch, Father. Lord, give us strength for the journey. Give us strength for those ordinary days, like Brother Trevor was speaking of, Father, that, Lord, even when the trials are raging, or even when it just seems like Satan's trying to make us stagnant, or that just everything's just going along, and, oh, Father, but may you just give us strength and courage to recognize that you're with us. You're with us through the battle. You're with us through the trials. You're with us on the mountains. You're with us in the valleys. Oh, in the dry seasons and all through the night, Father, that you're with us. And you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Lord, may you keep your guiding hand upon us, Father. Be with our families. Be with our children, Lord. Be with each one, Father. May you just give us a greater desire to serve you. Help us to be content, Lord, as St. Paul said he learned to be content in whatever state he was in, Father. Help us. Give us a contentment and a peace, Lord, to abide where you've called us, Lord, until you lead us and guide us to do something else, Lord. Help us to be content. Help us to, Lord, have our ears open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Oh, Father, don't pass us by this morning. Just give us another touch from you, we pray. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Friend, you will find he's not too busy. Oh, he'll hear your heart's cry, for he is passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Won't you reach out? Touch the Lord as he goes by. Friend, you will find he's not too busy to hear your. I know he's passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he. Oh, let's sing it again together this morning. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. We love you this morning, Lord. Oh, you'll find he's not too busy. He can hear your heart's cry. I know he's passing by this moment. Your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he. Oh, let's just worship him together. Just reach out. Touch the Lord as he goes by. I know you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in church. Good to be in the presence of the Lord. And remember, tonight, 7:30, men's meeting. And then also the viewing for Brother Steve Goldberg from noon to 6 o'clock this afternoon. And that'll be at Scott's Funeral Home. The funeral will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Branham Tabernacle. And remember, service Wednesday night. Lord willing, Brother Layton will be speaking for us. Let's just sing this together before we go. Oh, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. You know, it bathed my heart in love. Then he wrote my name above. Oh, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us
Let's just tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, then he's gonna answer by and by. So when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little calm. Oh, turn around and shake somebody's hand while we sing it this morning. Oh, let us ask. Brother Nathan, I'm going through a trial this morning. Well, let's just have a little talk with Jesus. You can tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. I know he's going to answer by and by. So when you feel a little prayer will turn it, oh, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, well, we may have doubts and fears. Our eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. You can go to him in prayer. Oh, he knows your every care. You'll find that just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Yes, you can have a little talk. Oh, just tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, then he's gonna answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Oh, Satan's tried to lie to me, Brother Nathan. Oh, but you can have a little talk with Jesus. Oh, just tell him all about your trouble. He will hear your faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn it, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little Jesus makes it right. Oh, I want to hear you sing it this morning. You can. Oh, you can. I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible. Oh, aren't you thankful for that? Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Oh, if you do, let's thank Him for it this morning. Oh, thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it like the Bible says. Thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible says. Oh, have you got it? Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it like the Bible says. Oh, have you got it? Yes, thank God I've got it. Yes, I've got it. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed. Let's sing it as we go. Thank God I got it. Thank God I got it. Oh, thank God I got it.